I was up in Bradford, Pennsylvania. I guess we were up there maybe 6 months, maybe it was a year ago. And I found out that they, and there, am I a little bit loud? I don't know. But I found out that up there in Bradford, they this one church, they did things somewhat different. And they really did do some things different. But they did skits. They did, sometimes they would do like skits to bring forth the gospel. And it was different, but it was real. And people really grasped a gospel meaning. So this morning, I'm going to minister from the word here, but I don't want to surprise anybody, but I want to forewarn you. I'd like to just take 5 or 10 minutes here and just do a little skit for you. Now, it's not one I read. It's one I got right here. But it's a gospel message. And, you know, so many times we limit ourselves to things that we do and things that we say, and we limit ourselves because we think this is the way the traditional church should be. But there's so many ways. Jesus sometimes used analogies. He says, the foxes have holes. They have beds, but I don't have one. I don't have a place to lay my head. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's just things that we do. So I'm not going to be moving around. I just like to take a few minutes, and I like to begin my message with the foundation. Now, if you listen to just the first few words, you'll miss the message. If you listen to the entirety of it, you'll glean a gospel, a message that I like to begin. And the title of my message this morning is "Look What the Lord Has Done." No, I'm not totally crazy. But I must do what I must do. I got my eye on you. Where'd Cole go? Oh, hi, Cole. Never mind, I can't. You stay where you are. You stay where you are. The last time that I ministered here and preached in your cathedral of compassion, I got a message after the church was over, and my wife got a message after the church, you know, was done, and a lot of people just said that I was like a little, almost like too energetic. So, I mean, even to the point where maybe some thought that maybe I was on drugs or, you know, pot or something. But I just want you to know, I am not on meth or pot. I'm not on anything. And I just want you to know that I can be calm. See? I can be calm. I can talk slow. I can do it. I don't have to, you know, run around or jump up and down. I can bring a message through really clearly. And I can read the scripture really slow too. I mean, I can do that. That's not a problem. But somebody told Gene that maybe I should go like on some Ativan or something, you know. I don't know, you know. I'm not on any illegal drugs. I can't help, you know, how it looks. But I just want you to know, since the last time I'm still the same, but I can be calm. Now watch. I shake a little because my nervous system does that, but overall, I'm pretty calm. So I can be calm. I'm calm, okay? This is just, I can be calm. So, but I think the problem is when I looked up a word in the Webster's College Dictionary, I found this word fever. It says a rise of body temperature above the normal. It says a state of intense emotion, a contagious enthusiasm. So I don't really know if it's a problem like you think it is a problem. It's just that when I open a book that was preserved for 2,000 years, it just excites me. Oops. No, I can be calm. I can be calm. It excites me. I know when I look in Psalms and it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Wow. Some people, I know it just doesn't do a whole lot for them, but for me, oh, it just really does. It gives me a fever. A fever is when your body rises above the normal temperature, and I know it's not normal. I know that. In fact, I'm getting kind of hot right now. I think about Psalms, and I was going to throw this to Cole, but he's too far away. So I'll throw this to Jeff because he's going to hold on to that for me because I'm just so warm. I get a fever, and sometimes fevers, you know, you get scared when someone gets sick because then you get sick, you get contagious. But I just want the Word of God to be contagious, but I can do this calmly. See, I can be calm. You didn't think I could, did you? But I can be, because it's personal. The Word of God affected me very personally. It changed my life, and so some people might think I'm a little, you know, like this, but really, it's just that it's so personal and emotional to me, the Word of God, and so I just want you to know that it isn't meth or, you know, coke or anything. It's just I get really excited with the Word of God, and so we are going to look at the Word of God, but I just will try to let you know that. That's the only reason. That's it. That's it. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Look what the Lord has done. Hebrews 11:23. Please come back. I'm never going there again. Please come back. Hebrews 11:23, verse 23 through 26. Let's just read that. Hebrews 11:23 through 26 in the New King James Version says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because he saw they was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We have a little story, you know, a small version in the book of Hebrews, which is, of course, in the middle of the New Testament, verses, you know, taken from a portion of an old manuscript that was called Exodus. And Exodus was the birth. It was the birth of the nation of Israel. It was the birth. It was the beginning. And in the beginning of the nation of Israel, God chose a man, and his name was Moses. And Moses was born for a particular time, and I got know God had his hand on him because, you know, all the male children of that time was being killed. And Moses' mother said, I don't know what I'm going to do here, but she floated him down the river. And Pharaoh's daughter saw this little basket, this little baby boy in his basket crying. The scripture says he's crying. So what do you do with a little boy that's crying? You pick him up. But look what the Lord has done. Moses, who should have been destroyed and killed, was saved because of God's providence. And he was floated down the river. He was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. And he was raised in the king's court. Talk about a high college degree. He was raised in Egypt. He was raised in the king's court. And Moses then had the knowledge, more knowledge. But yet, in reality, his heart was for the people of God. His heart was for Israel. His heart was for the Hebrew children. And he began to realize he saw things in Egypt that he didn't like because his heart was a heart after God. So I'm not going to speak completely on this story, but in the Hebrews, he's a man of faith. We find in Hebrews, Moses is considered a man of faith because he chose not to to lean the way of the world, but he chose to lean God's way and go with God's people. And the Exodus means taken out, exited, leave, exiled. He was going to take the people of God and he was going to leave the land of Egypt with them and he was going to be their leader. But look what God can do. Look what God can do. I'm telling you, Moses didn't know when he was floating down that river in a little basket what God had in plans for him. But he had plans. And you know, so many times, I don't think we fully know what plans that God has for us. There was a time in my life, people would try to tell me what God had for me. So people would usher me in and try to, you know, say, this is what they felt. This is what you felt. Or maybe prophesy. You know what? When it comes down to it, know what I found out? You have to know it in here. You have to get it from God yourself. If I tell you where God wants you to be or tell you what God wants and you don't feel it in your heart, don't follow it. You got to follow your heart. You got to do what, you know, the Word of God will help you and it will verify, you know. If a brother or sister comes to you with a Word of God and a word of encouragement, it's verification. It shouldn't be a new revelation to you. If you come up to me after service and say, wow, brother, God's called you to be a world-time evangelist, and God hasn't spoke to me, I can't take it. You have to take what's in your heart. You have to take the Word of God. And you have to look and say, Lord, you speak to me. God, you spoke to me. God spoke to Moses. He got Moses' attention. He said, God, I'm going to get Moses' attention. And God came at one time in a burning bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. Woo, that would get your attention. But see, God was getting Moses' attention and God was speaking to him. God wants to speak to me. He wants to speak to you. And he said, Moses, now that I'm here and you're in my presence, take off your sandals for this is holy ground. And you know, God has wonderful things. Look what God can do. He can speak to you even when you don't know it. He can speak to you when you're sleeping. He can speak to you in dreams. He can speak to you through his word. And he can speak to you through brothers and sisters. But just know it first. Know it in your heart. And then it's glorious. When you get a verification or you get, you know, something that, oh, yes. And, you know, we all need encouragement. But look what the Lord has done. And in Mark, this is... Again, this is exciting to me. But in Mark chapter 5 or 4, we're not going to read it, but Jesus said to his disciples, he said something like this, let us cross over onto the other side of the lake. Let us cross over. So they all get in a boat and they start out. They leave the crowds behind. Now, this place that they were on was called the Sea of Galilee. I rowed a boat. I was actually on the Sea of Galilee. And because there's great flat lands around there, some mountains, but some reason, for some geographical reason, the way that sea is, it gets very, very tumultuous. In other words, it really, really has high waves at times. It can get very, very scary. Now, I was there. It was very calm, you know. In 1975, I was there. But it was very calm. But at this moment, when they went on the boat, a storm came up. It says, the scripture says, a fierce storm came up. And high winds began to break the boat. Probably water began to fill the boat. And the people on the boat began to get very, very afraid. And Jesus, he was sleeping. Everyone's running around the boat. I mean, the fierce wind, you know, probably thunder, lightning, and the waves were, you know, popping up. And it was very, very scary for everyone on that boat. And Jesus, he was sleeping. It just fascinates you that he was absolutely at peace and he was sleeping. So finally they woke him up, said, Master, don't you care? We're going to perish. Don't you care? He woke up and said, peace, silence, wind, be still. And they were absolutely astonished. The storm subsided. The boat calmed. Everything calmed down. And they were astonished to the place they said, what kind of man is that that even the winds and the waves obey him? Wow. Look what the Lord has done. Look what God can do. You know, we all have waves and we all have trying times in our life. But we have to realize that even if we don't see Jesus and even if he's sleeping in the bottom of the boat, he's there. Even if we don't see Jesus, he told Thomas, he said, you're blessed because you see me. You can see the scars in my hands. You're blessed. But blessed are they that believe and have not seen. I've never seen Christ, but I believe. I believe the word of God. I believe it's true. I believe it's authoritative. I believe it's written and inspired by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. It was there and it's lasted through the ages. Lasted, even when the devil tried to, in the Middle Ages, wipe it out. Even when there was a time when Bibles were illegal to be on the pulpit. They were illegal to be had. The devil wanted to wipe out the Word of God. Through it all, he had them hidden in some caves. He had the manuscripts hidden in some caves. He had a way to preserve this Word that we call the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, the Word of God. He had a way to save it, to preserve it, and now we have access to it, and thank God we can carry it openly. But look what the Lord has done. This morning, no, maybe it was last night, that little chorus, wow, is it old? The B-I-B-L-E came to my mind, and I remember singing that when I was just a young person in church. Would you try it with me? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Now you know where we're going. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It's great. Isn't it great? Where would you and I be right now if we couldn't walk in here and open the Bible, open the Scriptures? Praise God. Look what the Lord has done, preserving His Word so we can have it today. So, when something comes into your life, I just want you to know He's there. When something seems like it just is so very difficult, I just want you to know He's there. When it seems like the shepherd has gone, I just want you to know He's still there. He's still there. He's still with us. When tough times happen, you know, we've all had tough times. We've all had embarrassing times. We've all made mistakes. But you know what? Through it all, He's here. And he's here because God continues to work in our lives. He actually said, the work that I began in you, I want to continue on in it. So much so that the path that you're on, listen closely, the path that you're on will grow brighter and brighter into the perfect day. We only see so much light here, but by next year, we should have a little more light. By the following year, we can have a little more light. God just, you know, enlightens us and allows us to mature and become who we are going to be in him. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean we're going to be all what everybody thinks you should be, because we live in the flesh. We live in the flesh. We get hurt. We have accidents. We're here on earth. But you know what? In our heart, in our spirit, God continues to work for us and with us. I'd like you to look with me to a scripture here right close by, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I just like to read this. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run. Aha. Hey, there's my scripture. Hey, that's for me. Let us run. Let us all run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking. See, look what the Lord has done. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end. He's the A to the Z. He's our Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning to the end. The psalmist rose up and said, he is all together lovely. I mean, how much more can you get than that? Is that great? The Lord, look what the Lord is, and look who he is, and look what he's done. Look where we are, and look where we're going. There's a scripture. Luke 9:62. If you want to turn with me, you can. If you don't, that's fine. I just read it. It's just one scripture. Luke 9:62 said, Jesus said unto him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus was emphasizing looking forward, looking on, looking ahead, looking to the future. I'm disappointed in myself sometimes when I think about things in the past, but I have to erase that because God forgives us. He forgets us, and we say, Lord, I'm living now. I'm living right now. Today's a new day, and tomorrow's a new day. This week's a new week coming, and I'm going to see what you will do because I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to give every day to you in light of all that's happening, in light that's going around the world, in the light that's happening in our church, in the light of what may be happening in my life, I'm just giving it to you, and I'm believing you because you may appear to be sleeping, but you're in full control. He is in control. God is in control. Sometimes it doesn't look like it, but as you look back over your life, you'll begin to see the pieces come together. It's almost like a little puzzle. You know, you'll see the pieces. Oh, I can't see it now. I can't see it tomorrow. Wow. But, you know, you begin to see the pieces being put together. And God has the puzzle of your life. And sometimes it's very puzzling. Sometimes it's very baffling. And sometimes we're very perplexed. But God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. And he doesn't do it like we want him to do it. There's a scripture somewhere in the Old Testament that says, command ye me. I think we don't understand it. I can't say I understand it. Command ye me. I am not commanding God to do anything. I'm just not. Because you can't take a doctrine and build on one scripture. You cannot take a doctrine. Command ye me. Oh, yeah, it does say that. We don't understand. We're humans. We have minds that don't think like God. He said his ways are far above our ways. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. And some of his ways, the scripture says, are past finding out. So you and I just have to set ourselves at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I'm going to see what you will do because I'm yours. And it may not be the way I think it should be, but I'm trusting you because I know you can do it in your way, in your will, and in your time. I want it right now. Probably won't happen. I'm praying for patience and I want it right now. Ponder that. Some of the things are mysteries in God. There's an interesting illustration I have. I think it's interesting. It talks about the caterpillar and the butterfly. The caterpillar slowly crawls along on its 14 or more legs. It's covered with hair that is yellow or white or brown. It eats green things. It has no interest in flowers. No matter how beautiful they are, no interest in them. It makes no effort to fly. It's content to crawl. We've all seen these little caterpillars, different colors, you know. But as winter draws nigh, this peculiar little thing begins to weave a coffin around itself and begins at the rear end and works forward and begins to enclose itself in its little casket, which is waterproof, sunproof, and unsinkable. So through the terrible cold of the winter, it remains in his tiny little house, in his tiny little casket. That caterpillar is just in there. And how many know when it gets really cold, it seems like nothing moves? When it gets really cold, it freezes the ground. It freezes the ground. You know, I mean, it's solid, and it can freeze water. So you got this little tiny caterpillar inside this little coffin in the winter, hanging on trees or wherever it chose to go. And you would think nothing, absolutely nothing can happen during the winter time because it is just so cold. And it goes way below, you know, 32 degrees. But there is something happening in some kind of God's way, in some kind of a mysterious way. That little worm has been transformed. Over time, in the cold, in a coffin, it is completely and mysteriously transformed into a beautiful, beautiful butterfly, which usually has wonderful, brilliant colors, six legs, and a long, peculiar tongue to be able to reach into flowers now to get out nectar that it had no interest in before, and it flies. And a butterfly has many, many scales on it. And if you were to put it under high magnification, you may find up to 1 million scales per square inch. The God who took this little kind of tiny caterpillar, just crawling along, and it weaves itself into a little cocoon and mysteriously transforms itself into something by spring. And when spring comes, it also mysteriously opens up one end, even though it has very little strength, to crawl out. And you know, God does that with us. Seems like sometimes it's cold. I don't mean cold in temperature, but sometimes, you know, it's a cold spot in our life. Or sometimes you might feel like, yeah, this is really rough. This is a cold time. I don't know what God is mysteriously working in your life. He's mysteriously transforming you. If you will let him take you from earthly things to heavenly things, from glory to glory, he will do it. He will accomplish, and you will see what the Lord will do. Look what God does. Even in the animal kingdom, there's mysterious and wonderful analogies. But look at that little caterpillar that goes in and comes out flying. Don't you want to fly this morning? Praise God. Look what God can do. Look what he can do. And he doesn't want to do it in just one life. He wants to do it in every single one of our lives. And I believe that he is. I believe that he's working from this front pew and every single person in this front pew to the next pew. He's working in every single life, every single one from the front to the back. From the pulpit to the door. Let's bow our heads and look to him. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. And I thank you, Lord, that it's a light unto our feet. And I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you're going to do. And Lord, I just praise you. I just ask you to help the Word of God to settle into our hearts. And Lord, even though this isn't maybe the final prayer and the benediction prayer, Lord, I just want to pray that God, that you'll let the Word of God sink into our lives. And Lord, that we, when Jesus says, let's cross over into the other side, no matter what storms happen, no matter what prevails, no matter what we see or hear or sense with our senses, we are going to the other side, because Jesus, when he says, let's cross over into the other side, we are going to the other side. Whether in this life or the next life, or whether we look at it in any way, from earthly to heavenly, or in our spiritual lives, in our earthly lives, if Jesus said, let's go, we're going. We're going. We're just moving. We're moving with him. We're moving because he said, let's go. And God, I just pray the Word of God would just have its way in our lives, that we'll just this week begin to ponder even more about what you've done in our lives and what you're doing. You are working with every single one of us. And I thank you, Lord, for that. No matter even age, no matter what age, no matter if you're a newborn or 110, God, I thank you that you're working on our spirits and lives. Continue doing this great work, Lord. And I thank you for all those that are here this morning and all those that will be here next week. Bless us, Lord, as we look to you in Jesus' mighty name. And God, I just thank you, Lord. We can never pray too much. Or just, you can open your eyes now. I just want to thank you for listening. I pray that the Word of God will touch you, touch our hearts, and just help us to grow and be more mature each and every day.